It is very challenging to begin your financial journey when you don't know where to start. It's tough. Many people have probably checked out a personal finance blog at some point or another seeking advice. On this show, we really love to put our spotlight on some of the websites and blogs out there, different voices, different perspectives. And today we're focusing on one called Her First 100K. Tori Dunlap is the creator of Her First 100K, and she joins us now from Seattle, Washington. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me. It is a rainy day in Seattle, but, you know, wouldn't have it any other way.
This just in, big surprise, rainy day in Seattle. Oh, my goodness. The thing that struck me about your writing is the tone. So I'm going to quote a couple things. The very act of a woman getting her financial S together is feminist. Managing money is a challenge. Since when have you been afraid of a challenge? What tone are you going for here?
Yeah, I think to prove your point, when I was starting my personal finance journey, I got so much conflicting information and I was trying to figure out someone I could trust and someone who understood my own experience. And I graduated college in 2016 and kind of came to adulthood in a very different America than I was planning on, and realized that a financial education is our best form of protest as women, and that we have to start having conversations about money that are also conversations about politics and systemic oppression and all of these different issues. And so I started Her First 100K after my own goal of saving $100,000 at age 25, after I achieved that goal, and built this financial speaking and coaching business and financial guidance around this concept that, you know, a financial education and fighting the patriarchy is the best. It's the best way we can start building wealth and also start having impact, or a bigger impact on our communities as well.
You use the phrase fight the patriarchy a number of times. What does that mean to you?
Sure. I mean, that's a whole, you know, couple hours of conversation, probably a couple days. But for me, I hear these statistics all the time, and we probably know them. You know, women make 78 cents to a man's dollar. It's even worse if you're a woman of color. We invest later compared to men. We either don't invest our money at all, or we wait to invest, thus losing the amount of money that we could be making on returns. And then actually women live 7 years longer on average than men. So we have to manage our money differently. All of these different factors make it so obvious that we have to manage our money and invest our money and negotiate differently. And so these are the conversations I want to have, not just how to better your money, but also things that are more focused on this larger issue.
Yeah, we on this program, we talk a lot about the gender dynamics in finance and in personal finance in particular, partly informed by the fact that I'm the parent of a 10-year-old girl. And we need to start the work now so she will grow up into a world in which those statistics aren't quite so ridiculous as they are today.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about your journey. You referenced the fact that you had saved $100,000 at 25 years old. How did you do it? And are you still a member of that organized crime syndicate?
Oh, I'm the queen of the organized crime.
Oh, perfect.
Syndicate.
Of course, that's called the fighting the patriarchy within the organized crime families.
So I am the first to acknowledge that, a privilege is part of my story. I was able to graduate debt-free from college, not just because I had, parents who were able to financially support me a little bit, but also because I worked three jobs while I was in school, got tens of thousands of dollars of merit scholarships. But I'm the first to acknowledge that the 100K at 25 goal would have been way slower, or it wouldn't have happened as quickly if I had student loans. So that was a part of it. The other pieces are I started investing really early. I opened up a Roth IRA when I was 21, and so was able to, kind of reap the rewards of that and of, a continued market growth, as well as continuing to invest even more of my salary. I also side hustled. So Her First 100K, which is now my full-time business, actually started as a side hustle 4 years ago. So I had a 9-to-5 in marketing where I was able to save about 27% of my take-home pay. And then I was also saving all the money I made from Her First 100K. So there are a lot of different aspects to hitting that 100K goal. And the coolest part was being able to found Her First 100K and have this community of other women who were not only cheering me on, but able to follow my journey and learn from it as well. And we've kind of started this global movement now of people starting, growing, trying to hit that her first 100K goal, whatever that looks like.
You write about a budgeting method that, quote, doesn't make me want to die. That is a very compelling marketing promise. I think you went back to your corporate marketing playbook to find that. What is the essence of your budgeting method that puts the cyanide in the trash can?
Yeah, I talk about it a lot in my Back to Basics course, which is the sixth course that I have. But really what it comes down to is value-based spending. I'm never going to tell you you can't buy something. I think that's restrictive. I don't think that's helpful. And I also don't believe in tracking every single penny, because I want you to be able to live your life. I want you to be able to save money and to also spend money on things that are important to you. And really, the TLDR, the too long didn't read of the Back to Basics budgeting method, is making sure you automate your savings. And so if you're listening, I'm sure you've talked about this before, but one of the easiest things you can do to better your financial life is to set up an automatic transfer from your checking account into your savings account. So it's on autopilot and you don't even have to think about it. And that's kind of the start of that budgeting method, is if you pay yourself first, the rest of it can fall into place.
You do not like the phrase empowering women. Why do you not like mm-hmm. that phrase?
Thank you so much for asking the question, because I wish we talked about it more. So I understand the intent behind it, and it's great. You know, it's raising up women, advocating for them. But the definition of the word empower is to be given power. I don't need to be given power. No woman needs to be given power. We already have power. We just need to know how to use it. So I don't use empowering women in my marketing. I don't use that phrase to talk about what I do, because I don't need to give another woman power. No one needs to give me power. I have power. I just need the tools and the resources and the knowledge to be able to harness that power in order to build the life I want.
It's fantastic. If you, and you do have a platform, you do have a voice, most of the CEOs of North America's big banks and credit unions to a lesser extent, but big banks are men. Most of them are white men. If you sure. could, if they were listening to this conversation, what would be your call to action for them? What would be your request? What would you say they need to do in service of your mission?
I mean, there's so many things. And as soon as you say, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs, I think about the statistic that there's more CEOs named John are women.
It just.
Crazy. So there's so many different solutions. There's so many different ways that we can support women in the workplace and advocate for them. And not just white women, but women of color as well. But I would say the biggest thing that CEOs in leadership can do, especially if you're a man in leadership, is give women the tools to succeed and make them really concrete. I remember speaking at an event last year, and it was actually a whole like women's empowerment event. But then I discovered that the company who was running it and who was sponsoring it didn't offer paid family leave and didn't offer spaces for either pregnant women or women who were nursing to be able to, you know, to nurse, to pump, to have a safe space in order to do that. So just as simple as make sure you're taking care of your female employees. Make sure that they are offered paid family leave, lactation rooms. Make sure that they're offered the same pay as their male counterparts. And if we start there, everything can start to change, right? If we give women these very, very, crazy, novel solutions in terms of, you know, making sure that they feel welcomed and valued, they're really not that hard. It's really not hard to make sure that you are creating a workplace that feels friendly and feels, compassionate towards women. So I would say that one of the easiest ways to start, you know, making sure that you are uplifting women and advocating for them is starting at your own company.
That's great. Clearly yours is much more than a traditional personal finance blog. Tori, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a great conversation.
Tori Dunlap is the author, the blogger, the force behind her first 100K. Check it out. She joined us today from Seattle, Washington.